Good morning, Nachum. Good Erev Shabbos, everybody. Tomorrow we have the privilege of starting the fifth book of the Torah, and we read Parshas Devarim. Parshas Devarim, according to the Chinuch, contains two mitzvos, which I'll return to in a moment. And Parshas Devarim is the parsha that we read every year prior to the Tisha B'Av, and the Haftorah that we're going to read this Shabbos is that of Chazon Yeshayahu, which again we'll speak about in a moment. The two mitzvos, according to the Chinuch, are two, quote, negative mitzvos, both of which are addressing the Dayonim in Israel, the judges, that a judge, number one, is not to be appointed based upon who you know, but there has to be what you know as well. And secondly, the judge is not to be afraid of the litigants, that once he's accepted the position to be a judge, he cannot say, well, this guy has connections with the mafia, so I'm going to side with him. Ouch. Now, it's interesting that the two mitzvos which speak about judges reminds us that part of the mourning that we are experiencing and that we experience on Tisha B'Av, as we say in that closing kina, Elitzion and Uvatel Sanhedria, part of the churban is that we have lost the Sanhedrin. And what is the significance of that? Well, the Sanhedrin is the high court which met right connected to the Beis HaMikdash. Not in, but connected to the Beis HaMikdash. Why? For unlike in America, which prides itself on the separation of church and state, in Judaism, the High Court met in very close proximity to the Beis HaMikdash. Why? Because the influence of the Beis HaMikdash would guide the Sanhedrin to come up with the proper decisions and guidance for the Jewish people. The Gemara teaches us that 40 years prior to the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, the Sanhedrin left the Beis HaMikdash and Yerushalayim, and therefore what we're talking about is every Shemona Esrei we conclude with the words Shiabana Beis HaMikdash, the Beis HaMikdash shall please God be rebuilt b'mehera b'yameinu, speedily in our days, v'sein chalkeinu b'sora secha, and give us please our share in Torah. Wait a second, we have been studying Torah for the last almost 2,000 years since the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. What's the connection? And the answer is, Ki Mitzion Teitzei Torah. Yes, there is learning, there's no question in Yerushalayim, there's learning of Torah all over the world. But the quality, the level of Torah, that too has been diminished since the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Because once again, there is that very strong connection between Shekhinah, the Divine Presence, and the Beis HaMikdash. The Haftorah speaks about the Navi not only warning of the impending Churban, but more than that, he tells us why that ritual without the proper feelings, prayer without kavana, is like a body without a soul. And therefore, the Navi says that unless you accompany your ritual, your prayer, with proper behavior, the Mikdash is not going to stand, and unfortunately, you're going to lose your land. And therefore, says the Navi, And this is coming from the first chapter of Yeshayahu. I'm using the English just to save time. Therefore, Pasuk 15, after Hashem is saying that I reject your your korbanos, and even your Shabbos, Yom Tov, korbanos, etc., your festivals, no good. Says the Navi, wash yourselves, purify yourselves, remove the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Desist from doing evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Strengthen the victim. Do justice for the orphan. Take up the cause of the widow. In other words, you have to improve, as once again, I hope we'll have a chance to conclude, your midos, your behavior, your very purpose for being in this world. God created this world that it should be a better place, that He would do good to others, that we should do good to others. And this is the foundation of the Beis HaMikdash, Tocho Rotz of Ava. When there's a breakdown of Ava, there's a breakdown of the Beis HaMikdash. Unfortunately, we have to first review today some of the halachos of this forthcoming week. Let's start with Shabbos. Shabbos is no problem of eating meat, and even if you take in Shabbos early, while it is still, quote, Friday, you can come home and start your meal. You don't have to wait until sunset to start your meal. Once you take in Shabbos, you can have meat during Shabbos. And so, too, should you have meat at Shalosh Seudos tomorrow afternoon, you can continue until you bench after, even if it is after Tzei Sakochavim, even if it's after the time when the stars have come out. For Havdalah tomorrow night, if there is a child above, let's say, the age of 6 or 7, you can give the wine, grape juice, to a child to drink, and if not, an adult can drink the wine. It's preferable to have wine over grape juice for Kiddush and Havdalah. An adult can drink it without any problem. Okay. Unfortunately, this coming Monday is Erev Tisha B'Av, and because, as we find, Kora Olai Moed, the Tisha B'Av is called a holiday, and as the Navi Zechariah promises us in the 8th chapter of Zechariah, verse 19, that the fast of the 5th month, he has 4, 5, 7, and 10, but the 5th month is Tisha B'Av, will become a holiday. We're promised, but until that time, we have to unfortunately observe it. For the Sfasemes says, just as we take the good of the previous generations, Zechus Avos, Bris Avos, so too we have to take the Chovos, the negativity and the sins of the past, because we are indeed one big soul, all of Jewish history. We connect with our past, the present, and please God, the responsibility for the future. Okay, so we know no Tachanun this coming Monday afternoon, reminding us of just that, that Tisha B'Av is a holiday and will be, like I said, observed in a happy way. The practice is that the meal before the fast is a special meal that we eat before the fast this coming Monday night. It's called the Suda Mafsekes, the meal which divides, and upon which, at the end of which, we either formally accept the fast or shortly thereafter accept the fast. The idea being that we wash, we don't sit three men together, so we don't have a mezumen, or if we did sit, there is no zimun after the suda mafsekes. What does the suda mafsekes consist of? Number one, a piece of bread, part of it during, we dip it in ashes, and a cold, hard-boiled egg, some water, and that's it. And we imitate, as the Gemara tells us, Rabbi Yehuda bar Eloi would sit on the ground. Here too, for this meal, we sit low, even though afterwards, if it's not yet sunset, we don't have to remove our shoes until sunset this coming Monday afternoon. For the Suda Mafsekes, we do sit low, and we taste a little bit of, unfortunately, the ration of a piece of bread and whatever, well, food, you want to call that, that lo aleinu they had in the Shoah. We connect with our historical past, and we maintain the mourning, as the Talmud teaches us, that whoever does perpetuate the mourning for the Beis HaMikdash will be privileged to see the joy and the rebuilding thereof. And it hurts me very much to say this, but the reality is that, Baruch Hashem, so many, a great majority of the Jewish people observe a Pesach Seder, observe Yom Kippur, observe Hadlakas Ner Chanukah, and yet when it comes to the 3 weeks, the 9 days, and even Tisha B'Av, unfortunately, there is still a disconnect that Jews don't realize how much we are missing in the Beis HaMikdash. The Hakdama to Eicha teaches that Rabbi Gamliel had a neighbor, a young woman who unfortunately lost her child, and she would get up every night and cry for that child that she lost. And Rabbi Gamliel heard her cries, and he would get up and cry for the Churban Beis HaMikdash. So I ask you the obvious question. She's crying for her baby. What's he crying for? And he's teaching us that unfortunately all the sorrows that we experience all come from the fact that unfortunately we don't have that Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash was not only a place of gathering, but it was the ultimate Shmira from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And so all the sorrows that we experience, including this past horrific October 7th, all this comes from the fact that we don't have the third Beis HaMikdash. Okay, let's, on Monday night, we pull away the paroches in the Beis HaKnesses. We daven Ma'ariv slowly, and we dim the lights. After Ma'ariv, we read Eicha, the sad Megillah of Lamentations, written by Yirmiyahu HaNavi, and we recite a few kinos afterwards. On Tisha B'Av itself, there are, as we know, 5 prohibitions. The prohibitions that we have on Yom Kippur, we have on Tisha B'Av as well. So, number one, the Mishnah teaches us that there were 5 tragedies that happened on Tisha B'Av. One, in the desert, it was decreed that we would remain in the desert for 40 years and that generation would not enter Eretz Yisrael. You cried for nothing. Hashem says, I'll give you something on this day to cry about. And that's why this day has become a day of crying throughout Jewish history. Secondly, the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Number three, the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. The Mishnah tells us the city of Beitar was captured, and tens of thousands of Jews were killed. And finally, the wicked Tyrannus Rufus plowed the site of the Beis HaMikdash. Aru, aru, ara yisod ba. The enmity of the Goyim was so strong that it was not enough for them to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, but they plowed over the site thereof. And therefore, in our Zemer on Shabbos, in Elokim Tein Bamidbar, in Dror Yikra, we ask Hashem to please restore the mountain. They went to the trouble to remove the Har HaBayis, and we are asking for the rebuilding of the complete Har HaBayis. Okay, now, what is prohibited on Tisha B'Av? So, number one, eating and drinking is prohibited, which we'll talk about and try to give a little bit about each. Washing of one's body is prohibited. That's number two. Sicha, anointing oneself with lotions and perfumes, is number three. The Tashmish Hamita, cohabitation, is prohibited. Number four, and wearing leather shoes and learning Torah, okay, except for those things which are permitted, are those halachos, five restrictions on Tisha B'Av. The eating and drinking is for all people. Now, interestingly, young men and young women, 12 years old for a boy and 11 years old for a girl, while they would fast on Yom Kippur, they don't have to fast, and certainly not the whole day at all. Al Pidin, they don't have to fast on Tisha B'Av. Why? Because we don't train children in Avelus, right? In this kind of Avelus, in communal Avelus, because we train children for what's going to be in the future. But in the future, Tisha B'Av is going to be a holiday. So from the letter of the law, they don't have to fast. They don't have ice cream, but there's a big difference. Now, from the letter of the law, first of all, if somebody should not be fasting doctor's orders, then they don't fast, period. And there is not the issue of shiurim. Like on Yom Kippur, if somebody has to eat, so we tell them to take a bite and wait 8 to 10 minutes and take another. But no, that does not apply to Tisha B'Av. And more important, if a person is not required or permitted to fast, then they're prohibited from fasting. That's very, very important to know. Whoever should fast, fasts. Whoever should not fast, should not. Pregnant and nursing women should attempt to fast. If, however, they experience challenges and difficulties, no heroics for them as opposed to other people. Okay, now, the idea is that rinsing one's mouth, brushing one's teeth, again, is prohibited on Tisha B'Av. Serious medications that people take should be continued to be taken on Tisha B'Av. That's number one. Now, rechitza, bathing and washing. So, bathing and washing is prohibited on Tisha B'Av, on the night and the day of Tisha B'Av. The idea is, if one gets oneself dirty, by all means they can, should wash themselves. It's washing for pleasure, which is prohibited. In the morning of Tisha B'Av, we wake up, we wash Negelvasa with a cup, alternating right, left, right, left, right, left, till the end of one's fingers. Take those fingers, and after you've shaken off some of the water, put the fingers through your eyes, to clean out whatever might have gathered during in your eyes during the night, and wash it in a little bit on your face. That's it. You can do the same when you use the bathroom during the day. That kind of washing, you know, is permissible. Okay, if a woman needs to cook on Tisha B'Av, be it even in the morning, but certainly in the afternoon, so you can wash the vegetables or anything else that is for the food, that is okay. Next, the third thing, which is sicha, anointing for pleasure. So this, any kind of body lotion is prohibited. Cosmetics of all kind is prohibited, etc. But obviously for medical reasons, it is okay. One can use spray deodorant if one needs it. Okay. Next, the cohabitation is prohibited on Tisha B'Av, and therefore one should abstain from even touching his wife in any kind of an affectionate fashion on Tisha B'Av in the evening. Okay, finally, leather shoes is prohibited, and this is again interesting, the idea of shoes as being a sign of comfort. So even though one might argue, oh, my sneakers or my non-leather shoes are more comfortable, that's not the main idea. The main idea, not only to ideally diminish the comfort, but what this quote-unquote represents for us, reminding us that unfortunately what we have to appreciate our loss. We're taught in Tillim that we say the first of the Psukim Zimra on Shabbos, Pikudi Hashem Yeshor Mesam Chaylev, which means that Torah gladdens the heart, and therefore we don't study Torah on Tisha B'Av except for those areas which, be it the book of Eov, which talks about the sorrows that he had and the strong faith that he had, even under those difficult conditions. The book of Eicha, the Medrash on Eicha, and the third perek in the Gemara Moedkatan, which deals with the laws of mourning and chayrim, excommunication. The story of the Churban, as found in the Gemara Gittin, Nun Vav Amid Beis through Nun Ches Amid Aleph. The story of the Churban in Sanhedrin, Kuf Yudalid Amid Aleph. These are all permissible because it helps us focus on our loss. There is the prohibition of Shela Shalom. You haven't to greet someone on Tisha B'Av. We don't say good morning. Not that we're not friendly. We feel the sadness. And this is a significant point. Gift giving should not be done on Tisha B'Av. And even just, you know, taking strolls and walking around. No, interesting, there are those that will go to a cemetery in the afternoon to remind us of the, you know, the day full of tragedies. And the idea is that until Chatzos, until mid the day on Tisha B'Av, we sit low, and ideally one should spend their time in the Beis HaKnesses. Many, many Batei Knesios, synagogues, explain the kinos today, and we thank Art Scroll and others who publish in English, so the kinos are very poetic with a difficult Hebrew, and therefore it's more important that you say quality rather than quantity. Know what you're saying, know what you're mourning, know what it is that we are lacking, not only in terms of the physical Beis HaMikdash and the various practices which took place in and around the Beis HaMikdash, but the effect of the Beis HaMikdash and its destruction upon us over the centuries. After mid the day, we are to get up. Whoa! A very important concept, and that is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Gemara teaches us, took out his wrath and anger on the building and not on the people itself. Okay, next, ideally, one should not work on Tisha B'Av, but certainly one should try not to work until after mid the day. To come to shul early in the morning and be finished by 9 o'clock and to go to work as usual is not in the spirit of the day. That's a very important point. All right? Now, an idea is, listen carefully. Number one, a mourner who is in Shiva can go to shul on Tisha B'Av night and Tisha B'Av morning. And we do not put on tefillin on Tisha B'Av morning. Excuse me, just one more thing about the night. There is a practice brought down by the Ramah that one should try, if possible, to deprive themselves of some comfort when going to sleep on Tisha B'Av night. If you usually use two pillows, try to use one, etc. The idea is, again, it's the concept of internalizing the nature of the day. Tisha B'Av morning, we do not put on talis and tefillin. They are, however, worn for mincha in the afternoon. All right? Tefillin are called pe'er, which is an ornament, and therefore it's improper, not right, to wear an ornament. Helps us appreciate our tefillin all the more, right, on Tisha B'Av. Okay. Finally, what we should be aware of is that because the Beis HaMikdash was put ablaze on the 9th of Av in the afternoon, and it continued till midday of the 10th, especially this year when Tisha B'Av is on a Tuesday, so we have the continuation of some of the restrictions of the 9 days till midday of the 10th, till midday of Wednesday. And therefore, one, washing of clothes should not be done. Shaving, haircuts should not be done until midday on Wednesday. And meat and wine as well should be abstained from listening to music until midday of the 10th. let's hope that the review of these laws, customs, should, even this very year, he can come, Eliyahu, to announce the coming of Mashiach, and that we would, please God, not have to undergo another mournful Tisha B'Av. I just want to conclude with one interesting idea from the Parsha. In Parsha's Devarim, Moshe recounts for the Jewish people the various transgressions that they committed in the desert, and he talks about the sin of the spies. If you go to chapter 1, Pasuk 28, so the spies said, "Where are you going?" And they discouraged us, they put fright in our hearts as by saying that the people are too strong for us, and Orim Gidolos Utsuros Bashamayim, that the cities were great and fortified to the heavens. So, oh, come on, to the heavens. So Rashi says, yeah, that this is Lashon Havai, an exaggeration. Like people talk, it doesn't really mean to the heaven. But Rav Schwab, in his Sefer, Woe, gives a beautiful explanation. He says, literally, to the heaven. What does that mean? They were protected by the heavens. So listen carefully. He says that if you go to the end of the book of Yoshua, Yoshua says to the people, before I die, I want you to know I've done whatever Hashem has told me to do. Oh yeah, asked Rav Schwab, don't we find that there were certain cities that Yoshua did not conquer? And even in the days of Shlomo HaMelech, there were certain cities that were not conquered. So what does it mean I did? So the answer is, those cities were not conquered because they were still doing good. What does that mean? What does the word gedolos mean? So you're going to tell me big, and you're right. But I'm going to tell you that Rav Schwab even cites the Michtam Me'eliyahu to prove this, that the word gadol throughout Tanakh doesn't only mean big, but it means doing chesed. So Vayigdal Moshe, when the Torah says in chapter 2 of Shmos that Moshe was older or matured, what does it mean? He got a driver's license? No. Vayetze Elachav, he went out and did kindness with his brethren, the Jewish people, that their back-breaking work was that which bothered him, and he helped them physically, lifted their morale, etc. So gadol means to do chesed. Orim gedolos, these cities were not destroyed because they did kindness. Oy, and therefore they were bitzurot shamayim. Hashem in the heavens protected those cities. It's a very powerful idea. We see that until the nations of the world have committed sufficient bad atrocities, they are not destroyed. From this we can learn to us as well that we are expected to perform kindness, goodness, individually, communally, and if unfortunately we are coming up short of our quota of kindness that we ought to be doing, unfortunately, this explains why we have not yet merited the third Beis HaMikdash. May each and every one of us, individually, communally, take upon ourselves that whatever we're doing okay, I hope, but we can always do better. If this is the way we go in to Tisha B'Av, and this is the resolve that we have on Tisha B'Av, between man and man, between man and God, then please God, hopefully, we will merit that next year we will not be sitting on the floor on Tisha B'Av, but literally singing and dancing in the city of Yerushalayim. Shabbat Shalom, and a most meaningful Tisha B'Av to all.